Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10x points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Holla talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com, designed for work.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com. Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing designing smarter money goals.
Yeah, Joel, the astute podcast listener may have noticed that smarter was written in all caps on our outline, or maybe in their podcatcher where we have this episode. But a lot of folks have seen smarter maybe within a business context, you know, when it comes to different business metrics that their employer is trying to reach. But I'm not sure a lot of folks have thought about smarter goals when it comes to their personal finances, when it comes to our own goals, when it comes to our money. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about this episode, buddy.
Yeah, it's like a method that can help us, I think, be more effective in our goal planning. And, you know, it's sometimes in the work context, smarter goals or smart goals have not been great, I think. And sometimes that's like a communication issue or a bureaucracy issue. But I think in our own personal lives, when it's like us and our goals, that it can be an effective method for actually achieving greater things when it comes to our money. So yeah, we'll talk about that on this episode. Matt, before we get to that though, I wanted to mention that I saw this interesting article in Consumer Reports about dash cameras that you'd put in your car. And you can get those for 20, 30, 40, 50 bucks, something like that. They're not really terribly expensive.
For a cheap one.
Well, yeah.
20 bucks? I'm not going to spend 20 bucks on a dash cam.
I guess you can get
cam.
Like a $400 dash cam. Yeah, I don't know.
If you're going to get one, man, go all in. Why? Get that primo dash cam.
Why?
Well, if you're actually going to go through getting one, I mean, what would be more frustrating than actually not being able to see what it is that you need to see, and you did spend some money on the actual item? I'm not saying go out and like spend all of your hard savings on, you know, a $400 one, but maybe not a $20 one.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't go with the cheapest one on
sale.
The block.
Yeah. Find one on sale. It's a $200 camera normally, but now it's $20. I would give you my stamp of approval, my two thumbs up. All right. if that was you.
Well, I'm not up for spending like massive amounts on something that like a dash cam necessarily, but I think like even a cheap dash cam can actually give you what you're looking for in regards to like, you know, what this article was saying that it's helpful for. And actually
for insurance purposes, I guess.
Yeah, and actually it's interesting that insurers don't don't offer their customers free dash cams because I think it helps insurance companies most of all. But in this article, they referenced a guy who was driving, got pulled over for talking on the phone. He wasn't talking on the phone, and his dash camera could prove it because it takes video of outside the car and then inside the car at the same time.
Nice. So 360 action.
Yeah.
Bet you can't get that with a $20 dash cam.
maybe that's the $80 one. But yeah, like that's huge for him. He just was able to go down to the courthouse and say, hey, I've got video and I wasn't on my phone. Take a look. And they dropped all charges. And so that's the kind of thing where like a small amount of money could actually prevent us having to come out of pocket for a lot more money later on down the road.
Yeah, I would definitely install one of those if my insurer was providing one for free. If you're driving all the time, like your dad, he's on the road a lot for work. I think it could make a lot of sense for someone like him. But man, like these days, seriously, I feel like I'm biking just as often as I am driving, which actually makes me think, didn't you win a bike cam that you like stick on your bike or something like
that? I did. It was pretty slick.
Streets Alive last year. So it's a bike festival here in Atlanta.
It's like a dash cam for my bike.
Yeah. Yeah. That way, if there's a motorist that cuts you off or, you know, God forbid, hits you, something like that, you have proof that they did that. But what's the deal? I haven't seen that on your bike, and I remember you talking about it, but yeah, give me an update on
that.
Yeah,
no, it was on my rad wagon, and then I sold my rad wagon waiting on the next iteration.
Oh, it was?
So yeah.
Oh, I never saw it in action.
Yeah.
Well, dang it.
It's pretty slick.
You should have taken that off and like given it to me or held on to it for your next bike.
I'm glad I won that one, because that one was like a $400 camera, something
what?
Like that. Yeah, it was really expensive.
And you included it on the bike?
No. I kept the camera.
Oh, I thought you said you had it on your... Okay.
I did. Took it off. I'm going to put it on.
Gotcha.
Yeah, the next iteration. So.
Gotcha.
But yeah, if you need convincing that a dash cam might be appropriate for you, we'll post a link to a YouTube video of the craziest like dash cam accidents in our show notes. Man, I think a lot of them are like Eastern European videos, but there's some crazy stuff that happens over there, and dash cams have documented like a lot of weirdness, a lot of hit and runs, a lot of crazy like natural disasters, cows flying through the air in a tornado, like whatever.
This isn't Twister from the 90s.
Yeah, right, maybe I made that one up, but there's a lot of crazy stuff in those videos.
Well, I think there would be just as much craziness going on if we had those mandatory in the U.S. I think they're actually mandatory in Russia because of all of the fraud that goes on when it comes to insurance claims. But certainly, I mean, that's the biggest reason for it, I think, would be if you were involved in an accident and you had somebody that was trying to make an insurance claim, and they're falsifying it, right? Well, that's going to come back and hurt you if your insurer has to pay for that. And so it's great, you know, in that case, it would be amazing to have some actual video footage to back it up, to back up your side of the story. That would totally be an instance where it would be worth it. Have you ever actually been in an accident where there is a disagreement on actually what happened?
Between me and the motorist, but yeah. Not between like the police and what actually happened. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I had literally had a dude, I was in the far right lane. Guy was two lanes over on the left, cuts across all lanes to try to take a right.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Yeah. And then
Flipped
he was
you?
He was like, you ran into me. I'm like, what are you talking about? So yeah, I didn't need a dash cam for that, but it probably would have helped at least.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. So I've never had an instance like that myself, but yeah, if you happen to do a lot of driving, certainly something to consider. It would also be amazing too if insurers took that into account and, you know, they give you a discount on your insurance, you know, because you had that proof.
Yeah, like having a security system at your home, you typically get a discount. Having something like a dash cam on your car makes sense. You should get a discount.
Absolutely.
But you should buy the sub-$100 ones. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, get that nice one on sale. All right, man. This episode, we are drinking an Alpha Abstraction Double IPA, Volume 13. And this is by Wild Leap Brew Company out of LaGrange, Georgia. We've had a couple of their beers before on the show. I'm looking forward to enjoying this one with you, man. And we will share our thoughts on this brew at the end of the episode.
Sounds good, man. All right, well, let's get on to the topic at hand. We're talking about designing smarter money goals. And Matt, there are just like so many ways that we can evaluate ourselves for how we're doing in life.
Yeah, like how much you can afford to spend on a nice dash cam.
Man, you Richie Rich over there all of a sudden.
Man, I'm just in a weird mood. I don't know why I'm harping all about these dash cams.
I'm going to take your credit cards away because you are in an interesting mood today. I don't want you spending anything you regret.
I have wanted a GoPro before. Like I've kind of gone through these phases where I picture having a GoPro, like especially on vacation, and just how fun that would be, you know, like just to take it in the ocean, coming in and out of the water with the kids. I don't know.
You'd be a better version of yourself with a GoPro.
I just like cameras. You know, I'm a photographer.
That's true.
So maybe that's the part of it that I'm drawn to. Like, I got cameras here, you know, in my house. I got cameras on my phone. I want a camera in my car.
Well, get them all, man. Have cameras everywhere.
But again, we digress.
We digress. Yeah. All right, let's get back to it. So often we're measuring ourselves in so many different ways in life. And I think obviously money is just one thing that we measure kind of how we're doing by. And it's certainly not like the most important measurement of how we're doing. Typically, there are other categories that we place more importance on, right? Like wellness or, you know, our relationship statuses and how those are going. And generally, our overall happiness and well-being. That's what we're really concerned with. But money is something that can be used intentionally to aid us in some of these other important categories. But on the opposite side of the spectrum, it can kind of turn into an idol of sorts, right? It can have this opposite effect.
Sure.
And it can lead us down kind of a path that never satisfies, because when is enough enough, right? And that's a thing that any of us who have tried to get good with our money have had to combat and had to think about as well. Matt, I saw this article and it talked about how actor and comedian Martin Short actually came up with 9 categories that he evaluates every single year.
Oh, he's thorough.
Yeah. And I was like, man, I was really impressed, because I think that looking at all of those 9 categories could be really helpful to kind of have an overall evaluation for how I'm doing as a person too. And the categories were self, immediate family, original family, which meant his friends from growing up, his current friends, money, career, which means like doing fulfilling work, creativity, discipline, and lifestyle. And man, I think like sometimes we as humans tend to be kind of like ships where our rudders turn just slightly. And then, you know, just a few years down the road, we could be a heck of a lot more off course than we thought we would be. We can end up in a place that we didn't intend to be. So yeah, I think we can find ourselves in a state of drift, and it can have a massive impact on our happiness. And the same thing with our money. Like we can find ourselves in a state of drift, overspending in certain areas, and it's time to reevaluate. It's time then to rethink our money goals, design some smarter ones that we can actually stick to and that we can consistently implement.
Yeah, you know, on the topic of happiness, I think a lot of people have heard of this 2010 Princeton study where they found that happiness, how it doesn't necessarily increase a lot once you earn more than $75,000 a year. Well, guess what? There's this new study that seems to disagree, and they point to the fact that people with incomes over $100,000 are a good deal happier than folks who make less. And it also shows that the correlation between income and happiness has steadily risen over the years. Maybe that's due to inflation, who knows? But the methodology was different in these studies, and obviously, you know, that plays a role. But the reason I bring this up, though, is it is important to see that money and having financial security, it does play a role in our happiness, even though it isn't necessarily the end-all be-all, right? I think the real problem is when we confuse having lots of money with the things or the experiences that the money can afford us. Nobody sets out to hoard money. You know, like we all laugh at the idea of becoming Scrooge McDucks, where we're swimming and skiing down all of our, you know, all of our gold. But that can easily become our default when we don't identify and reevaluate our larger money goals.
Yeah, man, we actually got an email recently from listener Shay that actually I think kind of spurred on our idea for this episode. And she wrote, "I'd never heard the term financial independence before listening to How to Money. And the current COVID situation has made my husband and I realize it's okay to slow down, reevaluate, and think about our true values." She says, hint, we'd give away our cars before we gave away our 6 little chickens. And she says, "I came up with a mantra to reflect this newfound wisdom, and I put it on the bottom of my computer. I'm looking at it right now and on my 2 credit cards. I just wanted to share it, and I think your listeners might benefit from coming up with their own mantra and placing it around their house, on their credit cards, or even on their computer. Every time I try to shop online or might be wasting time instead of working on my side gigs, I ask myself this question: does this support my journey to financial independence and a simple, liberated life?" She says it does wonders seeing that before she goes shopping online or before she makes a big purchase. And I love that idea of, as we're making these goals, putting those goals front and center, setting them in front of us, like on the things that we see the most, whether it's your mirror as you're getting ready in the morning or on your computer, to remind you of what is indeed valuable and meaningful. It's like once you've got that goal and you've got that kind of simple mission statement, it can really guide you in the follow through.
Yeah, exactly, man. I love that. Shay totally has the right mindset here. For her, it's not about amassing huge sums of wealth. It's about continually realizing what is actually important. You know, in her case, that's a simple and liberated life with some chickens. Maybe even she'll get a goat someday. Or maybe not, because that's too complicated. Whatever she wants to do, it's up to her. But, you know, taking these small steps to remind her of that helps to enforce behavior that will help her to continue in that direction. Basically, sort of like you were saying earlier, Joel, Shay's rudder, it seems to be working perfectly. You know, it's pointing her in the right direction that she knows that she wants to go. So that's what this episode's going to be all about. We're going to talk about reevaluating our current money goals so that we can pursue more of what actually and really matters in our lives. So we'll get into the specifics of what that means for you right after the break.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simons on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Do you want your money to dream big? Do you want your money to be a total self-starter? Are you annoyed that your money doesn't work hard enough? Don't worry. Betterment is here to help.
Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Their automated technology is built to help maximize returns, meaning when you invest with Betterment, your money can auto-adjust as you get closer to your goal. Rebalance if your portfolio gets too far out of line and your dividends are automatically reinvested. That can increase the potential for compound returns. In other words, your money is breaking a sweat while you can be breaking bread. You'll never picture your money the same way again.
Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Let's say you've been listening to the podcast and now you're finally ready to start implementing some of the financial morsels that we're dishing up. Maybe you are trying to save up some more money for a down payment on a house, or maybe there's a big vacation that you have been dying to take. Well, the money app Monarch. They make it so easy to help you to reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal, they named it the best app for growing your savings.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, collaborate with your partner even. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. And you won't get spammed either. Monarch features ad-free privacy you can trust. They will never sell your data to third parties or show you ads.
That's right, man. And after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. It just makes sense. It works. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. That's monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney for an extended 30-day free trial.
All right, we're back from the break, and we're talking about designing smarter money goals. We're going to get to kind of the smarter system and how to come up with your own money goals, because they're different for all of us, right? We just talked about listener Shay. One of the most important things in her life was her six little chickens, and that's so cool. So
and it's probably not like the specific chickens, although maybe I'm sure she loves them dearly, but it's probably, if you dig a little bit deeper, it's what those chickens represent in her life, right?
Completely.
Which is maybe self-sustainability, the pace of her life, you know, maybe her connection with the earth. I think a lot of times these different things in our lives represent something deeper than what you can actually just, you know, see with your eye.
Yeah, for sure. And we're about to get to kind of maybe a system that can help. But before we get to that, Matt, it's so tough to reevaluate goals that you haven't even really begun to create, right? To design smarter goals if you don't have money goals in the first place.
Right.
And so like the first step that I think you and I would recommend for folks is to spend some time in introspection. So much of creating money goals comes with knowing yourself better. And Shay obviously knows herself. She knows what's most important to her. She'd give away certain high-priced items before she gave away her access to taking care of awesome little chickens in her backyard. It's pretty hard to create proper goals without really knowing yourself. And you think it might even be easier to do this given some of the social distancing constraints that have been placed on many of our lives. But we're pretty inventive when it comes to ways to distract ourselves from doing the things that truly matter. So while most of us have a little more time, a little more space to actually do some of this introspection to figure out what do we want our lives to truly look like, many of us have avoided it. And COVID feels like the perfect excuse to avoid it, even though it is actually the perfect excuse to pursue some of these things.
It's the perfect time to slow down and actually look inside yourself a little bit. But instead, we turn to Netflix.
Yeah.
And also, we don't just turn to entertainment, but we look to other people. You know, so many of us are used to making decisions based on what we see our neighbors, what our friends or coworkers doing, and whatever it is that they're buying. Or maybe like we're even following the lead of whatever media companies are feeding to us. You know, we're shown a constant stream of goods based on digital marketing algorithms. And unfortunately, we haven't taken enough time to figure out if this is actually adding to our happiness and our own satisfaction. We went pretty in-depth on this on an episode way back in the day called The Why Behind Our Money. This is episode 12. And figuring out your own personal, you know, why behind your money is so crucial to helping you accomplish those goals.
Yeah, it's so much harder to stick with a goal if there's not like a really good solid why that you've thought through behind what you're doing. And Matt, it just makes me think of like in school when we would get busy work from a teacher and I didn't care about those assignments. And I know most of the kids around me knew that it was just busy work also.
Yeah, busy work's the worst.
Yeah, and like so you have to get this done, but you don't care at all. You don't put much effort into it. And I think that's the way it works sometimes when we set goals, but we don't have a good why behind it. There's just less of an attachment and less of an interest in pursuing it well. The busy work wasn't necessarily helping you get where you needed to go. It was just to keep you occupied. And I think it's the same thing with some of our goals. If we don't have a strong and healthy attachment to those goals that are pushing us in a direction that we definitely want to go, then it's easy to fall off the wagon for sure.
Yeah, you know, on the flip side, the best teachers gave assignments and they're able to explain well the why behind the assignment. And knowing that why can make all the difference in terms of motivation. In a similar way, right? Not many of us aspire to have, Warren Buffett-like wealth. And if we're honest about the real priorities in our lives, it would actually mean shaking things up, maybe living our lives a little differently and, you know, spending our money in incredibly different ways. In order to figure out your why and your goals, it's vital to not be inhibited by what you see around you, you know, but by what you're being fed by media or by what your friends are doing. Instead, we want you to think big about what your life could look like and realize that you can make meaningful changes by consistently taking action now.
Yeah, Matt, when I initially kind of went through the why behind money exercise in my own life, I found it to be so helpful. It clarified a lot of things for me and it changed some of the things that I was actually pursuing. So let's get specific here, Matt. When I was young, first starting out in my career,
you consistently took some action.
Honestly, the introspection, the thinking about the why behind my money had a massive influence. There were things I thought were out of reach for me. But when I did do this exercise and I took the time to see that, well, you know what? My money wasn't necessarily aligning with my actions in every way. And if I did do a little more of that, then I could pursue some of those things that I thought I couldn't afford,
right?
Like traveling to really cool places. I had to make some sacrifices to be able to go on a cool trip to a place like Shanghai or Norway. Those didn't come easily, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're living in a sub $100,000 home with a roommate to help pay most of the bills was totally worth it.
Yeah, man. You do some house hacking, you can definitely do some international travel.
Yeah. And I think it would have been easy to see what my friends around me were doing and try to imitate that, like living in a fancy apartment complex with all the great amenities. But without that like intentional look inward, writing these things down, doing some real soul searching, I would have found myself missing out on some of those great opportunities. And I probably would have spent my money in a way that really didn't resonate with what I actually wanted to achieve.
Yeah. And for you, Joel, it sounds like you were able to be a little more intentional about that time, right? You were able to think through what it was that was making you happy. Like, I don't necessarily remember a specific time where I sat down, but I did know that this is what I wanted my life to look like, right? Like, there weren't specific things that I knew I wanted, except that I did know I didn't want to necessarily have to go into a traditional 9-to-5 job. And I was tempted to, right? Because health insurance is expensive. And especially, too, when you're looking at growing a family, it's certainly something you consider. You get a corporate gig, you get a normal, quote unquote, normal job, and you got your benefits covered. You got health insurance. But I knew I really didn't want that. That just wasn't, it's just not a part of, I guess, who I am. I didn't want that. Kate didn't want that for us as well. We just love the flexibility that we had from working for ourselves. But the problem there was that our income was inconsistent. And so for us, one of the big steps we took in order to maintain that work flexibility and kind of control over our time was that we saved up a lot of money and we invested that money in real estate. By having long-term rentals, man, that allowed us to kind of diversify our streams of income so that even though we were self-employed, those ups and downs, you know, throughout the years, that wouldn't have an impact as much on us. And so in our case, it was something that we identified, and it wasn't like a specific thing. Like you know, with you, it was travel. You're like, I want to be able to travel every single year, go on these awesome trips. For us, it was kind of like the opposite. I was just like, I just want to be able to stay home and not go outside and be forced to commute to work. And so obviously, everyone's motivation is going to be different. And even arriving to that motivation can look different for different folks as well. You know, so if you haven't done that before, right, if you haven't taken the time to figure out, you know, what the why is behind your money, seriously, there's no better time than now. And so for real, like right now, grab a pen and a piece of paper. Switch your phone to airplane mode and just take 15 minutes to think through what you want your life to look like. If you are in your 20s, think through what it is that you want to spend your time on when you're 30. Maybe if you're in your 30s, like think about what you want to be spending your money on by the time you're 40 years old. Think through what you want your typical mornings to look like, what you want your vacations to look like. We want to encourage you to think through what your ideal life would look like. So, you know, right now you can go ahead and hit pause on this episode. We're serious. We're also going to take a break ourselves, but when we come back, we'll outline how to make sure you're actually achieving goals to get you to that ideal life. And we'll get to that right after this break.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So, if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. They are committed to high ethical standards and even had to pass a rigorous exam before they could become a CFP professional.
They offer financial planning and services that take a more comprehensive view of your financial and personal circumstances and are customized for your needs. Certified financial planner professionals can offer advice on a wide range of issues like reviewing your investment portfolio's allocation, handling an inheritance, rolling over a company retirement plan, building education savings, and so much more.
That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org. I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host, or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's say you've been listening to the podcast and now you're finally ready to start implementing some of the financial morsels that we're dishing up. Maybe you are trying to save up some more money for a down payment on a house, or maybe there's a big vacation that you have been dying to take. Well, the money app Monarch. They make it so easy to help you to reach your financial goals. That's why the Wall Street Journal, they named it the best app for growing your savings.
Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, collaborate with your partner even. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. And you won't get spammed either. Monarch features ad-free privacy you can trust. They will never sell your data to third parties or show you ads.
That's right, man. And after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. It just makes sense. It works. And right now, listeners of this show will get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. That's monarchmoney.com/howtomoney. For your extended 30-day free trial, go to monarchmoney.com/howtomoney for an extended 30-day free trial.
Spring cleaning is kind of an annual rite of passage. We've all got to do it, minimize the junk that we have in our house. Emily and I, we just cleaned our closets out. It took hours, but it was so worth it. Now we've only got stuff in there that we love, and it's easier to find everything too. And so, you know, while cleaning your closets is helpful, Well, there's something else you can do for your family this spring. Shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius, for example, is a really important part of your financial planning for the year.
That's right. Yeah. And here is the thing that's important to remember, because you might be thinking you don't need to check out Policy Genius because you've got a policy through work. But even if you have a life insurance policy through your job, it may not offer you enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies, and that means they don't have an incentive to recommend one insurer over another, so you can trust their guidance.
Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to PolicyGenius.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's PolicyGenius.com. All right, we're back from the break, and hopefully back from your break, thinking about
your 15 minutes of introspection.
Exactly, which is all it really takes, right? No, and sometimes, you know, you might need to meet with your partner or significant other or, you know, a good friend to bounce some of these things off of. You're typically not going to get it done in 15 minutes solo, but maybe you did, and at least I think you can get somewhere. And yeah. And hopefully you'd realize too that the things that you wrote down, the things that are the most important, many of them don't cost that much money. Some of them might be closer to getting a used chicken coop on Facebook, getting those 6 chickens, and starting your own little urban farm. It doesn't really cost that much money in order to make that happen. But Matt, let's keep going on from there. Having a why is like this essential motivation that can influence the goals that you end up coming up with. It'll influence how much you're saving, how much you're investing, all that kind of stuff. But you can't just stop at the motivations. It's time to get practical. And I think that's where the SMART or smarter approach can be really helpful. And I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that the SMART goal system, we've had it actually in my workplace for a lot of years. And I've actually seen it fail in a lot of ways in the corporate context. The follow through is not often good. The intentionality when it comes to coming up with these goals isn't all that great. And I think that's where the disconnect is. But I do think that on an individual level or a familial level, this system can actually work to help us create goals that we can follow through with and that are meaningful enough that it's worth pursuing.
Yeah, and the goal, you know, for taking this smarter approach is to essentially link this big why, you know, like hopefully you've identified it already, but if not, over time, you'll kind of develop what it is that drives you, your motivation, like Joel said. But we have to find a way to link those bigger goals to our daily actions, to the things that we do every day on the reg. We're trying to bridge that gap between the theoretical, the things that we think will make us happy in our minds, to the practical, the things that we do every single day. So let's go ahead and talk through this, man. So SMARTER, it's an acronym, right? Each letter of SMARTER stands for something. And that's what we're going to talk through now. We're going to talk through how these different terms apply to us and our money. And we're going to start with S.
Let's go in order, yeah.
S is for specific. While identifying your why, you know, we talked how that can be great motivation, it can be pretty vague when it comes to money goals, you know? So for example, if you know that you want to save a lot more money, well, getting specific and then saying that I'm going to save up $50,000 for a down payment on my first house, that's going to be a lot more successful because you're being specific. You're tying it to a very clear and identifiable goal. If we just set out to save more money, well, you can't really put your finger on that, but you can put your money on a specific dollar amount.
Yeah, or even just, I'm going to save up a down payment for a home, and yet there's nothing else going on there. I think that specific number creates something tangible. It creates a real goal worth achieving as opposed to, yeah, I'm going to funnel more towards saving up for the down payment, but not getting specific with it. And the next letter is M, which stands for measurable. And it's pretty closely related to specific, but oftentimes when it comes to our personal finances, there are two factors that we need to make sure are measurable, the time and the dollar amount. So let's talk about the down payment again, Matt. $50,000, that's a great specific goal. But the measurable part of that goal is, what's the time period I'm going to be able to achieve that in? If it's saving up $50,000 in a savings account in the next 4 years, then it's measurable. Like, did I hit my goal? Did I get it in the time frame that I was aiming for? And that's where the M and the S kind of work together really well. It's a specific number in a measurable time frame, which really helps you zero in on that goal that you're aiming for.
Yeah, man, that data needs to be quantifiable. So the next letter is A, within the SMARTER acronym. A is for attainable, right? We don't want you to necessarily shoot for the moon. Like, we want you to stretch yourself, but make sure that you're being realistic about what you can achieve, as well as the time frame which you can do it in, so that you don't immediately give up on the goal. You know, a good place to start is by looking at what you've been able to accomplish in the past and then go from there. So, for example, you can look at how much you previously saved every single month, and then you can challenge yourself to maybe save a little bit more. You're basing that number on something that you know is certainly doable because you have done it before. You're not just shooting from the hip saying that, like, I'm going to save $3,000 every single month. You know, like, that's not going to be very attainable. This is similar advice to what we say when we're talking about budgeting, right? We talk about starting, like, before you budget, start with tracking your money, because if you are able to set a budget based on what you have set previously, you are going to be more likely to be successful.
Yeah, it makes me think about our podcast goals and aiming for, like, Joe Rogan download numbers. That's unattainable, man. That's just ridiculous. Don't even include that. You want something that is actually within your reach, that's within your grasp. So don't overshoot, because that's a recipe for ditching your goals altogether when they become unreachable.
Or depression.
Or depression. Yeah, it's so easy to ditch goals because they're unreachable. So it definitely has to be something that you can attain. All right, the R in the SMARTER goal system is for relevant. Do you ever go back to a to-do list and add items that you've already completed?
Guilty, yeah.
Just so you can cross it off and you're like, oh yeah, got it.
Feel a little sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, it does add that, right? But this point is for people like that, people like you, Matt. Make sure that your immediate financial goals are moving you towards the true bigger goal of the why behind money. This goal has to be relevant to what you're actually pursuing. So we just gave the example of a down payment on a home. Maybe you don't care about home ownership. And in fact, you don't need to care about home ownership. We've talked about that on the show before. It's not best for everybody, although it works great for some people. And so this goal not only needs to be specific, measurable, and attainable, it needs to be relevant to the things that you're actually trying to pursue, what you want to become your reality, essentially, of what the good life looks like in the coming years.
Yeah, and when it comes to some of the smaller goals that you might be crossing off your list, that's where, in my mind, that you need to make sure that you're moving towards that larger goal, right? I understand the need for a psychological win here and there, but it's really important to make sure that those small money wins align with that larger money goal. And that's actually where our next point kind of plays into that. T stands for timely. This is where we're acknowledging that smaller goals that you can reach on a shorter timeline, how they are just really crucial for success. You know, just the bigger goal, the longer it's going to take you to actually achieve that goal. So we know that it's important to aim for bite-sized goals that will create momentum and keep you on track. And so we keep bringing up, you know, this down payment example, because a lot of folks have a goal of owning a home. Some don't, but some do. But $50,000 in 4 years, that might seem really overwhelming, and it might be easy for someone to kind of get off track of that savings goal. Like, how do you actually go about saving that much money up in 4 years, you know? But if you break it down, what you're looking at is setting aside, you know, a little more than $1,000 every single month. It's very clearly defined. It's set at smaller intervals of time, and it'll be a lot more difficult for you to get off track saving up that 50 grand for that down payment, you know, by breaking it up into monthly bites. Joel, I know even when it comes to our budgeting, if I don't check and update our budget like at least a couple times a month, I know what that means is that at the end of the month, we're eating literally like beans and rice and leftovers, because we'll blow through our grocery budget. We'll blow through our entertainment budget. So we're not going to be eating nice cuts of meat. We're not going to be going out to eat, going out on a nice fancy date the last week, maybe even the last 2 weeks of the month, if I haven't done a good job of staying on top of that budget. And so I'm not necessarily going to advocate for, you know, moving to a weekly budget, but I do know that it's important for us to kind of set these small little milestones throughout the month where we're able to update our budget numbers.
Yeah, I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day. What do they say? If you want to eat something like a huge animal, it's one bite at a time. Like, that's the way you do it. Like
an elephant, I believe.
Yeah, an elephant. Like, you're not going to eat it in one sitting, like, super quickly. Why would people want to eat an elephant anyway? They're gentle creatures. They're very sweet. But, like, that is the kind of thing that we're getting at here is the timely portion of it. You only accomplish these things over a period of time going in the same direction. It's like that rudder turning just slightly to get you on that path to saving a little bit more every month to help you reach this goal. But $50,000 in 4 years seems ridiculous. It seems absurd until you break it down into those bite-sized chunks, and then you can actually accomplish it. That's the important part of what T brings to the table.
Yeah, it actually makes me think of, you remember the episode when I was talking about World Cup tickets?
Yes.
Because
they
announced how North America was going to host the World Cup in 2026, I think, 6 years from now.
Hopefully we can watch in-person soccer matches then.
By then, I'm sure we will. But yeah, I mean, I based the numbers on what the tickets in Russia were going for. And, like, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's thousands of dollars. And if we were to take our whole family, it would be a lot of stinking money. And in my mind, it's like, okay, there's no way we would ever go to that. But based on some calculations, I figured that if I just set aside $30 a month, we would be able to attend the World Cup, no problem. All six of our family members, which is crazy.
Yeah.
To think that we would take that many people.
It's like that planning ahead, right?
And, yeah, and it just takes planning ahead and just and breaking it up into those small bites. But
now it doesn't feel insurmountable, right?
Not at all.
Whereas it did, you know, when you initially got the sticker shock of this is how much it would take to go to one World Cup match. It's like, that's crazy. That's not going to happen. But breaking it down makes it possible.
Totally.
All right, let's get on to the ER. So SMART goals are kind of the way it's typically talked about, but you can add this ER onto the end, smarter. And that's what we're doing. And I think that helps even more because our goals need to be continually evaluated and reevaluated. That's the ER. I know some of the goals that I set back in the day just aren't relevant to my life anymore. For instance, travel. I'm really glad I've gotten to see a lot of the places that I've been, but international travel as a family just isn't as important to me. And so our goals have changed in a lot of ways. So it's important to evaluate and then reevaluate those goals along the way. Your goals are going to look different as you grow and as you change. I would say just like Martin Short, who we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, he evaluates himself on an annual basis according to those kind of nine markers of how he's doing and what his life looks like and if that's what he wants it to look like. So maybe revisiting your goals on an annual basis can give you that ability to see whether they're still meaningful or whether you want to pivot and go in another direction. Are you still trying to go to Mexico for an all-inclusive vacation with your partner?
To Tulum.
That's
yeah. Like the hot spot. That's or what it was like last year, a couple years ago.
I'd go to Tulum. Right. I'd hit that up.
Sure.
Yeah. But maybe now you're expecting a baby and you're like, no, that's not our goal anymore.
Not in the cards.
No. Now we're saving up money to do some home renovations to make it feel like a better space to bring our baby home to. It's important to be intentional. And I think using a system kind of like the SMARTER goal system can be helpful, but it's also only really helpful if we continue to look at those goals that we've set and make some changes when they just don't fit into our plan like they used to.
Yeah. So there we go, Joel. That's the SMARTER system when it comes to our personal finances and goal setting. But man, you know what? We're not always going to get it right. And so we feel it's important to note that we have to be able to give ourselves a break, you know, when we fail. We're not going to always get it right the first time. But at the same time, don't be afraid to immediately hit reset and set another goal straight away. There might be an unexpected bill and that could derail your savings for the month, but that's okay. You don't have to throw in the towel altogether. You know, we're talking about evaluating and reevaluating. Continue to do that regularly and just stay committed to the larger money goals that you have by revisiting the different things that are going to be important to you.
Yeah, Matt, at the beginning of the episode, you kind of talked about a couple of different studies that talked about the impact of money on our happiness. And there's not a direct correlation after a certain point in time. The idea of just building massive amounts of wealth in order to hoard it for ourselves, that doesn't appeal to many of us. It doesn't appeal to you and I.
Right, but it is important, though, to identify what it is that truly will make us happy, right?
And in many instances, saving well, investing well, being more thoughtful with our money does make a difference, does make a drastic difference in helping us to be able to achieve the things that actually do matter, many of which aren't even terribly money dependent. But so much of it starts with knowing ourselves and then implementing something like the SMARTER goal system. You can obviously choose to go a different route when it comes to implementation. But I hope that thinking through how we assess and then implement money goals for ourselves and how that kind of fits into the broader context of our lives was helpful for everyone today.
Yeah. And Joel, on a related note, a way that you and I, that we are able to implement a goal, albeit a pretty small goal into our lives and even on the show, is craft beer. You know, this is sort of like Shay. This isn't a major thing. It doesn't cost a ton of money like her chickens, right? Craft beer doesn't cost a ton of money, but it's something that we are able to enjoy and it moves the needle a lot for us. And so every episode we have a craft beer, man. This episode we enjoyed an Alpha Abstraction Volume Number 13 by Wild Leap. What were your thoughts on this brew?
Yeah, this is another IPA in a long list of IPAs by Wild Leap, who's just around the corner from Atlanta. And this one packed massive melon flavors in the hops. It was super sweet, like a lot of their IPAs are actually, just incredibly sweet and sometimes a little too sweet for my palate. I don't love it when an IPA is this sweet, but I like what they're up to. I like the direction they're going in. Even though this isn't like top 10 for me, it's still a really, really solid IPA from a great brewery just around the corner.
Yeah, I'm with you, man, as far as the melon flavors, but I feel like, in my opinion, it balances really well with the bitterness that accompanies those hops. You know, it's like they included the cantaloupe, but they also included like some of the skin as well. And you have to also eat that.
Right.
But in my opinion, it's a nice balance. It's a really juicy beer, and we'd recommend for you to swing by that brewery if you're heading down the interstate here in Georgia. Maybe you might even see Joel and I there. We have yet to hit them up, but we will one of these days.
Got to make it happen, yeah. For sure.
All right, that's going to be it for this episode. Our listeners can find our show notes up on the website at howtomoney.com.
Yeah, and just a quick reminder, put your money where your goals are, and then put those goals in plain sight. Put them on your computer, whatever it takes in order to remind you consistently of the things that actually matter and the things that you're trying to pursue, and maybe it helps you avoid spending money in an errant way. So, all right, Matt, that's going to be it. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.